serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Lord, let us see your kindness and grant us your salvation. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station, this is the most listened to show on WGBB. It's time for Listen Up. Jesus is on the air. And I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and Dr. John Palmer isn't here today. He's recuperating, and we give him our love and prayers. And our co-host is Paul Miller. Paul, are you there?
I'm here, thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, and thank you for co-hosting, and we appreciate you being here. And our guest today, Paul, is Teresa Pickett and her husband, Paul Pickett. And Teresa is the division manager for the Lighthouse Media. That's the disc that you see in the vestibule of the churches with all different talks and stuff like that. And she's got something special going on that I think we're going to want to talk about. But, you know, Paul and Teresa, if you don't mind, before we start, our prayer group said a rosary 2 weeks ago, a spiritual rosary, and after every decade, we gave a statement, and we put all those statements together, and we comprised a prayer, a healing prayer for John. So I call it a prayer for John. So if you don't mind, I'd like to read it and offer it up to Jesus. So
that would be great.
We get John back on his feet right away, and he gets back to us. And Trevor's holding on to the duct tape, and we've got a lot of duct tape left, John, so come on back. So in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Father God, we rejoice in the blessing of your Son, Dr. John Palmer, in our lives. We thank you for John, for he is a light to the nations, bathed in the light shining upon him. He is a fearless prayer warrior, a tower of strength, a Christian hero for so many of your beloved children. We pray this rosary for John tonight, and know all his friends will remember him in their prayers each day. We ask for a renewal of John's mind and body, removing all pain and anguish as he is restored to good health. And we surrender all to Jesus. We trust in your Lord for John's complete recovery in your time and in your way, according to your will. We ask for the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, for we know that she will refuse nothing in the name of Jesus. John's heart belongs to you, Father. Grant him your peace, hope, and joy by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And this prayer is from the Spirit-led rosary prayed for Dr. John Palmer by Christ the King Prayer Group community on June 30th. And the other prayer groups in our community are comprising prayers. And as I receive them, I will be reading them on the radio and offering them up to God and Jesus and our Heavenly Father. And so welcome, everyone. And Paul, thank you so much for granting to co-host the show, because me alone aren't that good. Isn't that good?
Well, when I visited Dr. Palmer in the hospital a couple of weeks ago, he said, you know, you better help Tony out. I'm really worried about him.
Well, wait, before we start, I want to say a little something about you, Paul. Paul, just sort of, I mean, you're well known on the show because you've been on the show about 7-8 times. I get requests for your disc all the time. And you're a professed member of the Franciscan Order, and you're married with 4 adult children and 11 grandchildren. You beat me out, baby. And the healing mystery of divine, you have a healing mystery of divine mercy, and it was established under the guidance of Reverend Joseph Kalama, pastor of the parish of Transfiguration in Jersey. And but you're not only involved in divine mercy, you have a soup kitchen. You feed the poor. You have a clothing area, but it's equivalent, I understand, to Macy's warehouse, where you collect coats for the poor for the winter, and you take care of all those that are homeless. So you're answering Jesus' request in so many ways, and you're feeding the poor, and you're clothing the poor, and you're helping the poor. And besides, you're a spiritual son of Maria Espinanza, who is a servant of God. So we'll talk all about the stuff, Paul, as we go on, but you're quite a guy. So listen, Teresa, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Tell us a
pleasure
little something
to be here.
About first, let's talk a little bit about your lighthouse and what's going on. You were on our show 2 years ago.
It was about
so,
2 years ago,
and
yeah.
And I'm a subscriber. I get 2 discs every month.
Very good.
And I listen to them, and I tell you the truth, I learn a lot. So tell us a little bit about the lighthouse, and then I want to talk about your involvement with Divine Mercy. And I'm sure Paul is going to have a lot to say about that.
Okay, great. I'm glad you're asking about Lighthouse since 2 years ago, because we continue to grow in leaps and bounds. Actually, this year, on Our Lady's Feast Day in August 15th, will be our 10-year anniversary.
And congratulations.
Thank you. I've actually been with Lighthouse almost all of those 10 years. But as of now, we're well over in 7,000 parishes. We're in over 100 countries. We have Lighthouse as far away as Singapore, Australia, the United Arab Emirates has Lighthouse there, and Ireland, it's just, like I said, over 100 countries. We have over 600 people working around as account managers trying to bring Lighthouse to different places. And the most exciting thing is what we've expanded and how we've added things since we started. And obviously we started with our CDs in English, and we've now added Polish and Portuguese. We've already had Spanish right from the beginning, but we've added a lot of new Spanish titles recently. We hope to also continue in more different languages. And then as far as our resources, we've, besides just the CDs, now we've added books, booklets, DVDs, rosaries, sacred images, MP3 downloads. So we've really expanded to multimedia. And most exciting, we've had several partnerships that we have done, which has gotten us into the digital age. And we now have online faith formation through the Augustine Institute, which is in Denver. It's based out of Denver. So we have a partnership with the Augustine Institute for Symbolon and Why Disciple, which is a youth group program, Bible studies called Lectio. And right now, right here in July, we're putting together a program where parishes are going to be able to get all of these things in one digital platform. Marriage program, confirmation, it's just expanding constantly. And that's just about to be released right now in July.
So these CDs that you have, they're in the vestibule of the church. Or
yes,
the church.
We call it a kiosk.
I buy them. I'm a good, I get 2 a month from you guys, but I also buy other stuff off the layout that you got there. Yeah. But how does this work? When someone does a talk, you record it, and because to tell you the truth, Paul gives fabulous talks.
Wonderful.
And runs great healing.
Yeah. All we need,
missions.
If anyone has a talk that they think they'd like Lighthouse to get out there, we just need a really good copy of it. And I'll send it right in to the people in Lighthouse who review all the talks. And they're open to everything. They're open to new speakers. We have the CD of the Month Club, as you mentioned, Tony,
yes.
That you're a member of.
Yes, that I'm a member of.
And that goes out to thousands and thousands of people. Every month, a brand new title goes out. So it's a great way, really, to get a CD out
great.
There.
Well, by the way, I just want to mention very quickly that Paul is going to be doing a healing ministry on August 22nd. And it's the Divine Mercy Center in Newark. He's from the Divine Mercy Center in Newark, New Jersey. And it's going to be Mass at 3:30 p.m. And it's going to be a breakfast. And if anyone's interested, they could give us a call, or they could call 516.
Actually, it's at the Montfort Center out in Bayshore.
Oh, is that where it is? Okay.
And it's an all-day retreat. It starts
okay.
at 10
great.
And ends
okay.
at 3. Yeah,
and then if anyone's interested, they could call 516-666-7500 for directions to the center. Or you can call myself, 516-712-705, and I'll give you more information also. But it's going to be a great day. It's a healing day. It's August 22nd, and it's at the Montfort Spiritual Center. You're right, my mistake. in Bayshore. Thanks, Paul.
Okay. Thanks for the plug, Tony.
Okay, buddy.
I have a question for Teresa and myself. You know, I've come, obviously, I get around to many, many churches, and I've seen the Lighthouse kiosks in quite a few places. And one of the questions I always had in my mind is, who picks what gets displayed? In other words, who picks what books are there, and how do you make that choice?
Okay, that's a great question. When we present our program to a pastor, we always tell them they can choose what they want, or we will choose for them. It's up to them. And I get it both ways. I get some pastors that said, oh, you go ahead. You pick out what we're going to have. You know what's best. And I have others who say, I want you to work with my DRE, or I want you to work with my secretary. And that's what we try to do. We try to take the work off the pastor. So it's always up to the pastor how they want to run the program. And we're there to just give them great resources at reasonable prices, so that people can not only educate themselves, but then they can share it with others. That's the whole idea behind Lighthouse Catholic Media. How do you get people back to church that have left or that have just faded away? And many, many times, it's someone's handed them a CD, someone handed them a book, and that gets their interest up, and they come back. You know, so many people, they abandon God when they need him the most, when they're struggling with something. And, you know, it takes people like us to be able to just reach out to them because they're not in church to hear that great sermon or receive the Eucharist. So it's everyone's job to really reach out to those who are struggling and give them hope and give them answers. So our purpose in Lighthouse is to make that possible by having these resources not only readily available, but affordable. $3 for a CD, $2 for a booklet, $4 for a book. Most people could afford that. And we ask the money just so that the parishes can keep the programs going, because we do have hundreds of titles, so we want to keep new titles coming in.
So you're evangelizing through the media.
Yeah, that's the whole idea.
That's the whole idea. You're bringing people back to Jesus and to the church, and I think that's a great endeavor.
Yeah, that's really why Lighthouse got started, was to answer St. John Paul's call for a new evangelization. And I think sometimes people don't understand what that is. Like, you think of evangelization as, you know, maybe going out and talking to people of other faiths. That could be part of it. But I think we have to start with ourselves. And we realize that so many Catholics really are in spiritual kindergarten. And so we're offering them to get educated, get to know about the faith in a deeper level, and move up the line at a kindergarten.
By the way, Paul is very involved in the radio show with us.
Okay.
And he's also, we became a non-profit. He's also a director. So
he also has a very good name.
He has a great name, yes. All you Pauls. And you know,
especially if you want to buy a car in New Jersey, because one of the largest dealers is named Paul Miller.
Oh, that's great.
That's good advertising for me, because when you drive around the state, you always see these huge billboards saying paulmiller.com.
That's a good advertisement.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That always helps, yeah.
And don't laugh, but this is a true story, speaking about evangelization. I've had many people who have come to see me over the years, and then they disappear, and I never see them again. And then all of a sudden, they'll show up, and they'll say to me, you know, I've had you on my mind for a long time, and I kept putting it off. Then the other day, I was riding down the road, and I saw this sign, paulmiller.com, and I thought, I better go back.
Yeah. So you're getting advertising all over the place. how long has this organization been in effect? Did you say 10 years?
10 years, yeah.
I think it's making a great impact.
Yeah.
With every church I go to, just about, I see the displays there, and...
Yeah.
And I'm always interested in the titles of your disc and stuff.
We're
like
always
that.
Coming out with new titles. That's what amazes me, is that it's never an end. It's just, like, exciting. And if you're in the CD club, you're always going to get a new title. So it's kind of exciting to get your package every month and wonder what's in it. Okay. And they're all good.
I don't know if you have this, but if you don't, I think it's a good idea, at least, is to... Do you have a top 10 list of which are your best-selling CDs and or... or pamphlets?
Yes.
I have a complete list. I have a copy for you.
She's got a whole packet for you, Paul. I'm going to mail it to you.
And as far as when you say top, like the most popular? Or
the most popular, yeah, because yeah, I think if I was a pastor, for example, or I was on a parish council and I was trying to, you know, decide whether or not this was worked for me, I'd like to see some of the best-selling, the most popular ones to see if I thought that would fit.
Often pastors do want to listen to them, and mm-hmm. I always bring them a whole pile of CDs, and sometimes right. they actually want their whole parish council to listen to them. So we've done that, too. We've presented to parish councils. We always give them sample CDs. One of the CDs, I will tell you what our most popular CD is, and it's called The Second Greatest Story Ever Told by Father Michael Gately.
Oh, I told you about that.
Yeah, that's the one I have here for you as well. You get a free sample. That's the CD that we have in English, Spanish, Polish, and Portuguese, that title. And that is pretty much leads into what I really would love to be able to talk about, which is our Hearts of Fire program.
Okay, so let's talk about the Hearts of Fire, which is what?
Okay.
Paul, you're going to be interested in this, baby.
Well, about 2 years ago, I'll tell you the story of how this happened, because it's pretty cool. I myself saw this book advertised, 33 Days to Morning Glory. And at that time, I had said a little prayer that even though I've been devoted to Our Lady my whole life, I just wanted to understand more what her role is, and I just had this feeling that I needed to know more. I saw that book advertised, and I said, that looks good. I want to get that. So I asked for it for Christmas. My husband got it for me. I read it. And after I read it, I wrote an email to our president of Lighthouse, Mark Mittendorf, and I said to him, can we get this book? This book is great. I'd love it. And could Lighthouse get it? It'd be great. He got that email, and he said to himself, wow, this is the third person today that has told me about this book. There must be something about this book. So he called Terry Barber, who was also one of the founding people of Lighthouse Catholic Media, and he said, Terry, what do you know about this Father Gately? I never heard of him, but three people today have told me to get this book, 33 Days to Morning Glory. And Terry answered him, what do I know about him? I'm having lunch with him today. So he took that as a sign that this is something we have to look into. And he made a meeting with Father Gately, and it ended up in a partnership between the Marian Fathers of Divine Mercy Shrine in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, and Lighthouse Catholic Media. Now, they had the Hearts of Fire program already, and Lighthouse started to get involved in facilitating it, since we already had a network of people throughout the country involved in parishes. They thought that would work out great. So since that happened 2 years ago, 20,000 Hearts of Fire kits have been sold. So that means 20,000 people have been involved in this Hearts of Fire, and it's probably more by now. Last October, we had Father Gately at our conference in Illinois, and he announced that the Marian Fathers were giving the administration of the Hearts of Fire program 100% over to Lighthouse. So that just happened last fall, and we're more than excited about it. So we've been really trying to get it out there, but I should really explain a little bit more about what it is.
Okay, let's explain it, and then let's go into the Jubilee Year of Mercy.
Yeah, definitely, and how it fits in.
How is that fitting in?
Exactly.
It'll tie in perfectly with Brother Paul Miller.
Definitely.
Okay.
Okay, Hearts of Fire is a series of small group retreats that people can do either in their homes or in parishes. And they start with Marian consecration with the book 33 Days to Morning Glory,
which I read, and I just got consecrated, and we did the whole 33 days.
And how'd you like that book? Good.
It's a great book. It's not complicated. That's what I like the most about it, because I'm such a simple guy. And it was great. Yeah, we did it. A whole group did it, and we did the consecration.
It's a day-by-day retreat.
Day-by-day, yes. Right. Yeah, it was really great.
Yeah. What Father Gately does in that book is he takes four great Marian saints, one of them being, of course, St. Louis de Montfort, Mother Teresa, Maximilian Kolbe, and Pope John Paul the Great. And each week you focus on the writings of one of those great saints about Mary. And like you said, he's taking a profound devotion and, you know, a profound part of our faith, but putting it into words that everyone can understand.
Now, how is it tying in with the Divine Mercy?
Okay, that's a great question.
That's... Oh, you hear that, Paul? Tell Mama, will you?
I wrote that down to report
it to John. One great question so far.
One for Tony.
I'm keeping score here, Tony. Don't worry.
Okay, how that ties in with Divine Mercy is that Our Lady brings us to Jesus. And Mother Teresa, one of the great quotes in that book by Mother Teresa is that Mary brings us to the heart, the love in the heart of Jesus crucified. And that is Divine Mercy. So the second part of the Hearts of Fire program, after the group would do the 33 Days to Morning Glory and do the consecration, then they would go on to Consoling the Heart of Jesus, which is another book by Father Gately. I'm actually doing a retreat in my home right now with that, and we just finished our second day. It's a 10-week program. It's a wonderful, wonderful book to understand the heart of Jesus, what Divine Mercy is, and how we can live it in our everyday lives.
Okay, now, great statement you made. Before I ask this question, I'd like to play a song, Mercy. Trevor, can we play the song Mercy, please? Get ready for a great question after this.
Okay.
I'm at the end. I'm on my knees, weighted down by all my need. I should have come when you first called, and yet your love still broke my fall. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. On me. Wash and cleanse me, make me holy like thee, like thee. Have mercy. Not sacrifice is your desire for my life. Surrender brings the deepest pain, yet opens up. Wash and cleanse me, make me holy like thee, like thee. Have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me.
The reason why I wanted to play this song is because I felt that there's so many people that are actually out there that are crying for mercy and asking for mercy and don't really know about the divine mercy that Paul, you're so involved with, and Teresa, you're so involved with. And so why don't you explain it to the listeners out there that Jesus' mercy is divine and is there for everyone.
But so, the first thing you got to know is if you don't ask for something, you're not going to get it. You have to ask.
True. Yeah.
A very basic
absolutely.
Concept.
You know? Yeah, very basic. It's true.
And that's actually a summary of the whole concept, because Jesus wants us. He wants to give us his mercy. And when Mother Teresa talks about Jesus saying, "I thirst," from the cross, he's thirsting for people's love, and he wants to pour out his love and his mercy. But as Paul just said, that sums up everything. He wants us to come to him and ask. How can he come to us if we don't open our hearts and ask him in? And many times people will think to themselves, well, now that I'm struggling with something, I can't come to God because I didn't come to him all this time. And I feel like I'd be a hypocrite if now, all of a sudden, now I'm going to cry to God because something's wrong in my life. And that's the wrong attitude to have.
I agree.
And
how did you get involved with Divine Mercy, Paul? Paul, our host.
Sorry. Which Paul are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Paul.
You,
Miller.
Paul, this is the other Paul.
I'll call you Paul Miller.
You're Paul 1, I'm Paul 2.
We'll call you Paul the Greater, and I'll be Paul the Less.
What a guy.
Very humble.
So restate the question, Tony.
Okay. The question is, how did you get involved with the Divine Mercy? I know you're heavily involved with Divine Mercy, and I know...
Right.
I know you're an advocate of it, but right. I don't think you were always an advocate, were you?
Well, I didn't even know about Divine Mercy until 1997 when I was traveling with Maria Esperanza, servant of God Maria Esperanza. She was obviously alive at that time. And we were on our way from Albuquerque to Santa Fe to do a healing type conference in Santa Fe, and somebody said, "Oh, let's pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy." And and actually, what happened was, I just said, "What's that?" And so I didn't even know about what it was. I hadn't heard about it. And in long story short, that was sort of my initiation to it. And then my life was profoundly changed by it over the next, you know, whatever it is, 18 years. Many, many times, Divine Mercy Jesus has inserted himself into my life to the point where, you know, I'm totally clear on what my mission in life is, which is to spread the authentic message of Divine Mercy throughout the world. So that's how I got involved, and that's what I do. And of course, you know, Tony, I travel extensively and do services and conferences and retreats and things like that. And the Divine Mercy is the central theme of all of those things.
So you're spending your life in spreading the word of Divine Mercy.
That's right.
Is that correct? That's your
that's
mission.
Right.
That's
it's
one of your missions, but you have a lot of hats, Paul.
Well, I have a lot of hats, but those are sort of, you know, they're side hats. They were part of the journey to get to where I am, you know, where I am in my own faith journey, let's say. But Divine Mercy, especially, for example, you know that I have a very large charity operation in the city of Newark.
Tremendous.
And of course, Newark is like a disaster area. It's so terrible economically, so terrible crime-wise, so terrible, you know, with all kinds of drugs and things like that. And, you know, it's exactly the place where mercy is most needed. And, of course, it's most alien to that population, because there aren't that many Catholics within that population on a comparative basis. And so we have an opportunity every single day to perform works of mercy for the thousands and thousands of people that we serve.
Wow. Wow. You know, I'd like to also mention about your clothing drive. You have a warehouse that you collect coats for the poor. And, and it's like someone told me it's like Macy's, where people come in there and actually pick out their coats and all. So, wow, you're answering the call for Jesus. Feed the poor and clothe my sheep and take care of them. So that's amazing, Paul. Now, divine mercy means something very dear to you. What have you seen with divine mercy, Paul?
Excuse me, say that.
What have you seen with your embracing divine mercy? What is it involving for you?
I mean, the most essential thing, obviously, the Marians, and I would assume now Lighthouse Media does a wonderful job propagating the entire Divine Mercy cult, which is wonderful. I mean, it's absolutely wonderful, and it's absolutely essential, because as those people who really know the whole story and understand Faustina's visions and all that, realize that Jesus said to Faustina, you know, I'm giving you this to prepare the world for the second coming. You know, it's not something, you know, it's not just a passing fad. It's a very important movement within the church and within, you know, society in general, for Jesus to reach out and extend mercy to those who are in most need of mercy. What I've seen is radical transformations in people who obviously never heard of it, and once they do hear of it, a door opens and it leads people back to our Lord, or it leads people to our Lord to start with. And we've had many conversions of people who were atheists, for example, because of divine mercy. And it's so that's how powerful it really is. My own particular role, let's say, is to talk about one of the pieces of divine mercy that's propagated. And that is when Jesus says to Faustina, you know, whenever you pray the chaplet, even only one time in the presence of a dying person, no matter how great a sinner that person is, that when that person dies, he will intercede between that person and his heavenly Father, not as a just judge, which of course we all know is Jesus' job, but rather as a loving Savior. And in effect, Jesus opens the door to salvation to those people that we're willing to invest our prayer on their behalf for Jesus to extend his mercy. And I can sort of sum that up in a completely different way. It's a little easier to follow, and that is Jesus is asking us, in fact, not only is he asking us, he's telling us, and this is the central message that he has given me to propagate, so to speak, to become involved in helping to redeem each other. Now, that's not a new thing. That's not a new concept. But the emphasis here is that we can become active in helping to save each other's souls by merely praying the chaplet for those people. And that's a very, very important thing. And it's something that our Lord wants propagated throughout the world.
And that's dynamite, I think. I think that's a great, great revelation, and I doubt very many people even know that, Paul. Thank you so much for mentioning that.
In the diary of St. Faustina, one of the big themes is that she says Jesus told her, the greater the sinner, the greater the right to my mercy. So people who think that they are too much of a sinner to come to God, it's the opposite. He's looking for you more than anybody else.
And his mercy is greater than any mercy anyone could ever encounter.
I think if you want to sum up what is divine mercy, the first place to start is to look at the image of mercy. And on the bottom of the image, Jesus said he wanted these words, Jesus, I trust in you. And that is pretty much the whole the whole idea is trusting in Jesus and his ability to reopen your heart to love. So people who have had struggles and they need to reopen their hearts to love. God's love meets us in our poverty, our brokenness, our weakness, and our sin. You know, and that's divine mercy.
That's very, you know, as you were talking, I just got the thought in my mind. You know, I go to the homebound and I go to the hospital to give out Holy Communion. And there are times that people, when I go into their rooms in the hospital, they ask if they would like to receive Holy Communion. Their statement is, no, it's too late for me.
Oh, how sad.
It's so sad when they say that. And they don't know about the divine mercy. It's never too late. And, you know, you don't want to give a sermon to the sick or anything like that, but I'm so heartbroken when they say,
yes.
And they have said to me, it's too late for me. And,
well, Jesus poured out his mercy when his heart was pierced with a lance on the cross. And what do we have in that scene? We have the good thief who at the last minute said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Yes, and bingo, in 2 seconds, he was saved.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You know, Paul mentioned St. Faustina. I did want to give a little talk on St. Faustina. I do a saint. I don't know if we're going to have time, but you have something that you want to talk about. The Jubilee. So
yes.
Why don't you give a quick, and then I'll see if I could fit in St. Faustina. I don't want
okay.
her to get angry with me.
Okay. Well, I mentioned 33 Days to Morning Glory. I mentioned the Consoling the Heart of Jesus. The rest of the Hearts of Fire program includes the Wisdom and Works of Mercy. So I just want to mention that's another section of Hearts of Fire, which is kind of like a crash course in Catholic theology. That book is amazing, Wisdom and Works of Mercy. And then there's also You Did It to Me, which is the practical end of, you know, how do we do works of mercy? And that's also part of the Hearts of Fire program. So the idea is to form people, not just to learn about it, but to actually live it. So as everyone hopefully knows by now, the Pope has proclaimed that starting this year on December 8th, we're going to have a Jubilee year. And it's going to be a Jubilee year of mercy. So I'm really very excited about that because of it's really, you know, now is a time of mercy. That's what Father Gately's theme is. He keeps saying that. And whenever there is great evil in the world, God gives us even greater graces. And that, I think, pretty much can describe our world today. So one of the graces that he's giving us is divine mercy. And we can come to, you know, a full embracing of it through this Hearts of Fire program. So Lighthouse has put together a document, which is we're reaching out to parishes and people to let them know that this is the perfect way to celebrate the Jubilee year, is to do the Hearts of Fire program. And what Pope Francis said when he's proclaimed that we're going to have this year of mercy, he said, Jesus Christ is the face of the Father's mercy. And in the Hearts of Fire program, we reflect on Mother Teresa saying, Our Lady's role is to bring us face to face with the love in the heart of Jesus crucified, which I mentioned earlier. And that's what the whole Hearts of Fire program is designed to do. So if a parish wants to use the Hearts of Fire program to celebrate the Jubilee of Mercy, they can start with the 33 Days to Morning Glory to end on the beginning of the Feast of the Jubilee Year, which is a feast of December 8th, Mary's Immaculate Conception, and then they can continue with Consoling the Heart of Jesus during Lent, and then they can go on to the One Thing is Three, which is Wisdom and Works of Mercy after that. Right, so they can kind of go through the whole program throughout the year.
We did the 33 Days of Mercy with our prayer group. It was dynamic. It really was. And we consecrated ourselves, and it really was simple and easy to do. It wasn't complicated.
And minus the Clemens Council did the same thing. It was good.
It was right.
totally worth it.
It was really worth it, and it was really good. I was really impressed with it, and so were the other participants. It was
good. Good to hear.
They were so impressed because it wasn't complicated.
Right.
You know, I'm a simple guy.
Right.
You know, and it was so simple.
And it doesn't take much of your time to do.
It doesn't take that much of the time. So
exactly.
It was really great. I don't know. I'd like to... I'd like to play a song on Give Me Mercy, since we're talking about mercy. Trevor, can we have a...
Give me mercy, you give me grace. I've come to offer you my sacrifice of praise, 'cause I want you to know that I love you with my life. You give me mercy, give me grace. I've come to offer you my sacrifice of praise, as I lay down my life as a living sacrifice. My God, you're calling me to pray, worship and obey. It's all that I can do, for the price was paid by you. And I thank you. Yes, I thank you. Give me mercy, you give me grace. I've come to offer you my sacrifice of praise, 'cause I want you to know that I love you with my life. You give me mercy, grace. I've come to offer you my sacrifice of praise, as I lay down my life as a living sacrifice. My God, you're calling me to pray, worship and obey. All that I can do, for the price was paid by you. And I thank you. Yes, I thank you.
Yes, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your mercy. And listeners out there, it's never too late. Jesus is there waiting to forgive you. Very quickly, we did mention St. Faustina. I did want to go over something with St. Faustina very quickly, if we can. Okay?
Okay.
So, St. Faustina, stand by, Paul, because I'm going to ask you to do the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, I hope. St. Faustina is known today the world over as the Apostle of the Divine Mercy, and classified by theologians among the outstanding mystics of the Church. She was born in August 1905, not too far before us, and died in 1938, October 1938, the third and tenth child born in a poor peasant family in the heart of Poland. At her baptism, she was given the name of Helena. As a child, she distinguished herself by her piety and love for prayer, her industriousness and obedience, as well as her great sensitivity to human misery. She had hardly 3 years of schooling at the age of 14, and she left the family to her parents to earn her own livelihood, serving as a domestic in nearby cities. Throughout her life, she reported a number of visions of Jesus and conversions with him, also conversations which she wrote about in the diary. When she was only 7, 2 years before her Holy Communion, she already sensed in her heart the call to embrace the religious life. When she made her desire known to her parents, they did not acquiesce in her entering a convent. Because of this situation, she strove to the divine call, and within her, on August 1st, 1925, at the age of 19, she saw a vision of a suffering Jesus and rushed to the church, where she was told by Jesus to join a convent. She pressed on by a vision of the suffering Jesus and by the words of his reproach, "How long shall I put up with you, and how long will you keep putting me off?" That's in her diary, number 9. She began to search for a convent to join. She knocked on many convent doors, and nowhere was she accepted. Finally, she was given an opportunity to join a convent of the Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy. She entered the convent of the Congregation of Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy in Warsaw. In her diary, she said it seemed she had stepped into a life of paradise. However, she knew nothing about the convent. She was joining as a lay sister and became with lack of education and probably not advanced. Soon she began to receive heavenly visions. She visited purgatory. She saw and spoke to Jesus and Mary several times. She visited hell, and it is outlined in her diary. Finally, however, on February 1931, she revealed that her real mission was supposed to be, she had a vision of Jesus as the King of Divine Mercy, wearing a white garment and rays of white, red, emanating from his heart. She wrote that Jesus told her to paint an image according to the pattern you see, with the signature, "Jesus, I trust in you." Not knowing how to paint, she approached a painter at the convent and received no assistance. 3 years later, a rendition was made under her direction. Jesus told her to have it blessed on the first Sunday after Easter. That Sunday was to be known as the Feast of Mercy. After she passed many tests given by the church, her efforts were supported, and an artist, Eugene Klamalowski, was asked to draw an image based on the direction of Faustina. She became ill in 1936 and she died in 1938. The picture was repressed for over 20 years. In 1959, a message was finally accepted again in 1978. Faustina was beatified on April 18, 1993, and canonized on April 30, 2000. The first saint in the 21st century, Divine Mercy Sunday, is celebrated the first Sunday after Easter, and she was beatified by St. Paul. The fact that her Vatican biography directly quotes some of her conversations with Jesus distinguishes her among the many reported visions of Jesus and Mary. It was estimated that those following the Divine Mercy devotion in to be over 100 million Catholics today. So that's a quick story of St. Faustina and how Jesus was relentless in getting her to...
And did you know that when Pope John Paul II canonized her and proclaimed the Feast of Mercy, he said, "This is the happiest day of my life."
Yes, I did know that. I absolutely did. Paul, I need a favor.
Yes.
Okay.
I thought this was a favor.
It was.
Second favor.
I wanted to say the chaplet of the Divine Mercy and offer it up for John Palmer and all those that are ailing and all those that are sick and all those that need Jesus' Divine Mercy. Can you lead us in the chaplet of the Divine Mercy?
Okay.
I think
we have enough time.
Yeah, I think we do. That's what I'm trying to fit in.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. You expired, Jesus, with the source of life gushed forth from souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. The blood and water which gush forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. The blood and water which gush forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and the whole world.
Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
and atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whose mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Paul. Paul, one more thing.
Yep.
Can you give a blessing to all our petitions that are ailing and all our listeners and to everyone, and you know, and give thanksgiveness for listening to the show?
Sure. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, you said, ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. And so I bring the petitions of those listening to this radio program and their families and friends, and I bring them to your most sacred heart. And I ask that you bless them and heal them in body, mind, and soul, according to your will. I ask you to be moved by these petitions, as you're moved by the tears of Martha and Mary for their beloved brother Lazarus, as you're moved by your mother's request at the marriage ceremony at Cana, as you're moved by the faith of the Samaritan woman who believes she'd be healed by touching the tassel of your cloak. I thank you, Lord, for the many times that you've intervened in the past, especially on behalf of those for whom I have just prayed. And I look forward with peace, hope, and joy at your future coming for the conversion of souls. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Paul.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Teresa.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Paul the Great.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, listeners. We love you. I'd like to go out with a song. Let's invite Jesus. Thank you so much, co-host.
You're welcome.
In the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB. The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management,
from the heart of the nautical mile,
WGBB.
You're listening to the station that serves your community.